What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Vinberg, and today's episode, we're going to be recapping another loss for the Washington Wizards. This one, a 127 to 113 defeat to the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, a pretty egregious tanking job again. Like, it wasn't anything unique that you hadn't seen in the last couple of days and weeks from this Wizards team that clearly is prioritizing in the second half of the season, trying to lose as many games as possible, making sure that their lottery position is as best as it can be, and obviously wanting to be bottom four to make sure that they keep their top eight protected pick. So we're gonna break it all down. Obviously, some Anthony Davis news dropped last night, since I had recorded my last pod. So gonna talk about that and him maybe missing the rest of the season as I anticipated he would. And then obviously talk about today's game. The Wizards only had eight available players. A lot of tanking going on, a lot of crying going on from Nets fans, from Knicks fans even. I saw some videos. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about when it comes to tanking and what should be tolerated, what shouldn't be tolerated. I'm gonna dive into that and sort of give my thoughts on their perspective of the Nets and Knicks fans, and also my perspective as someone who's covered this Wizards team all season. So to get into it, I want to start differently than the game today, just because there was news that dropped last night. First, David Aldridge and Ben Standig dropped reports. I'll start with Ben's first, who Ben basically sort of said Anthony Davis is happy to be in DC. You had, I think, Chris Mannix had the report, or at least just said on a podcast, that Anthony Davis was unhappy in DC. And then Ben reported that he had been told by a reliable source, like, no, that's not true. Like, AD is happy. He has questions about Washington for sure, but he's happy to be there, and anyone that says otherwise, I think it's incorrect. And then David Aldridge, legend in the game in the DC sports reporting scene, came out with an article at The Athletic, and basically, I think he had a one-on-one interview with Anthony Davis. I guess that's what happens when you've been in the industry and you're as connected and plugged in as David is. Where AD had some really great quotes about Washington, and it seems from his perspective, like, look, this is the second year in a row that AD, a guy of this high profile, was sort of blindsided by a trade, a pretty big, in-season trade deadline, pretty much trade. And so I don't blame him for sort of being a little stunned and also being a little, tentative, or skeptical of the move, especially coming to a Washington team that at the moment isn't trying to win any basketball games. But it seems like AD is happy, and obviously he has some questions for the front office. But I don't think it's any questions that they can't answer with, look what we've been able to build, look what we inherited, look what we've been able to build, and now you're a part of it. Trae Young will be a part of it. Like, give us a chance, and we really think this thing can go. And it seems like Anthony Davis is on board with that. And so, those were some reports. It seems like AD is happy in DC, sort of dispel the other reports that he was unhappy. And then you get to the one that, I mean, I think Chris Haynes tweeted this out like near midnight, so I'm sure some people missed it. But Chris Haynes reported that Anthony Davis will miss the remainder of the regular season. He's obviously dealing with that ligament damage in his, I believe, left hand. When the Wizards posted a video of AD introducing himself to the Wizards fans, he was sporting a pretty hefty splint, maybe even some tape on that left hand. Opted against surgery, it seems. I've been told by one of my reporting friends that he didn't go the surgical option because he didn't think he'd be traded, and he sort of wanted to see if Kyrie comes back, maybe the Mavs can make a run. So he wanted to keep himself available, as I've been told, but obviously now that's not the case. He doesn't really need to come back for any reason, and the Wizards are obviously way better with him just saying, get the surgery. We are completely okay with you taking the rest of the regular season and all summer to make sure you are fully 100% as healthy as you've been in a while, when we try to compete next year. And so I think, again, the Wizards haven't ruled them out for the year. Again, they haven't ruled Trae Young out for the year, but most people think he might not even play. So again, Chris Haynes reporting Anthony Davis is out for the year. It's nothing crazy. It's just the first time since the trade that someone came out here and said explicitly that AD won't play this year for the Wizards. Still waiting for official word, but that's the word from Chris Haynes on that. Again, makes sense for Washington. They're tanking. They want their pick to be as high as possible, and they also want to make sure that they can keep it by being a bottom four team. Anthony Davis returning and risking further injury makes no sense, and him returning, which makes your team better and maybe wins some games for you, again, doesn't make sense with what they're trying to do. So, not official, but that's what Chris Haynes is reporting, and if it's true, then obviously it definitely makes sense. That leads me to today's game, which, while we're on the theme of tanking, was a pretty blatant tanking from the Washington Wizards. And I'm not saying they're incorrect for doing that, but I've been on it. If you listen to any of these podcast episodes the last month, the Wizards are tanking. I can't come out here and say they're not. They're tanking. And other teams are tanking too. Like, it's not like it's just a Wizards issue. It's a league-wide issue. But obviously the Wizards are taking it to a new level. They really do not care, it seems. Like, they're like, yeah, this is what we're doing. Like, the league hasn't said we're doing anything wrong. Like, you guys fight amongst yourselves, but until we are told what we're doing is illegal and we get punished or fined for it or warned, like, we're gonna keep doing what we're doing, and that's sort of resting. I put resting in quotation marks. A lot of guys that are injured, or have slight injuries. And the injury report for today's game was quite hefty. I mean, even last night when they put out their injury report, you had Anthony Davis, D'Angelo Russell, Dante Exum, Jaden Hardy, all out, obviously pending trade. That makes sense. You had Trae Young and Cam Whitmore who are out. Trae obviously with the quad and MCL, and then Trae Johnson who missed, I think, his third or fourth game in a row with that ankle sprain. That all made sense. But then you had Biloko Dabali with back soreness, Keyshawn George with a knee contusion, and Alex Sarr with ankle soreness, all questionable. I knew they weren't going to play. I mean, it was just obvious. Like, those aren't injuries where it's like, wow, that's a big injury, and obviously they might miss a couple games. It's all injuries where, like, you can't say that they didn't injure them. But, like, if there were a playoff game tomorrow, I would wager, and again, this is being made, I don't know if the actual injuries are, but I would wager that all three of them probably could have played today against Brooklyn. But about an hour before tip off, they made the trip, but they were all ruled out. And so the Wizards had 10 guys of the 18 that they have on their roster. I guess technically 18 with the 10-day contract. They were all out. And so they had eight available players today against Brooklyn, who, by the way, I mean, they had all of their rotation, all their starters. Like, they played everyone. The only people that were out for them, I believe, were their three two-way guys who are on assignment in the G League. And so, like, I mean, they were doing the complete opposite of tanking. And I mean, if I'm a Nets fan, like, yeah, you're upset about the Wizards playing only eight guys today, or having only eight available players, three of which were two-way guys, one of which was Keyshawn Gilbert, who they signed just yesterday to a 10-day contract, and then the other four were Bob Garrington, Justin Champagne was their best player today, I mean, at least entering the game. You had Will Riley, and you had Anthony Gill, and so obviously not the greatest, to throw out there, but the Wizards are tanking. They know that they don't want to be a team that's picking in, six or seven or eight. They want to be in the top, and they're trying to do what they can, I guess, within the rules to do so. If I'm the Nets, what are you guys doing? Like, the Wizards are doing this. They're clearly getting away with it. It's clearly legal. And the Nets are playing like this is a big game for them that they need to win, and they're playing all of their guys. Like, again, I'm not advocating for what Washington is doing, but you don't also have to go the opposite direction like Brooklyn is and just say, we're not even going to try to do anything of that nature. We're just going to go and throw our best players that are healthy out, and we're going to try to win games. And look, if you're a Nets fan, like, you can complain about what Washington's doing, but they're doing it, and clearly you guys can do it too, and you're not. So maybe some Nets fans are upset at their own front office, because I did see that. It's like, well, why are we playing our guys if they don't have to? Like, let's fight fire with fire. And if you did that, then fine. What are they going to do? Punish both teams? But at the end of the day, the Wizards are taking matters into their own hands, and they're not clearly at this point getting punished or fined for what they're doing. So it seems like, is it unethical? Maybe, but it doesn't appear to be illegal. And so the Wizards obviously threw that rotation out. They were down 46 to 20 at the end of the first quarter. I think it was 80 to 47 at halftime. Like, they had 12 turnovers in the first half. They were so outmatched especially on the defensive end, couldn't get a stop whatsoever. And obviously Brooklyn and their starters, Michael Porter Jr., you know, De'Ron Sharp, you know, Claxton, they were just bigger, stronger, better than Washington in every facet, and they grew the lead that, you know, Wizards came back a little bit and that third quarter outscored them by a decent bit. Same with the fourth, but it's just too little, too late. You know, they dug themselves a big enough hole. I mean, the Nets won the game by 14, but the real winner here is Washington. Like, they are the real winner because now they're tied with the Nets in terms of 14 wins. I think Brooklyn's up 2-1 in the season series, and there's still one more to be played in Brooklyn, I believe. But the real winner is Washington. They took matters into their own hands. They rested a bunch of guys they probably didn't need to, and they lost. And so I think they're the real winners here. And I mean, they kind of needed to because they've been deploying this tactic, and they've been winning games doing so. They did it against the Kings, they won. They did it against the Pistons on the road and won, which, by the way, the next night the Pistons went and dominated a full, pretty much fully healthy Knicks team on the same floor. So it's any given night in the league, but like the Wizards bench guys beat up on that same Pistons team that lost to the Knicks. Like it's you can try your best to tank, but it's not always going to work. And so like, look, if I've seen Knicks fans say that Adam Silver needs to investigate this. I saw one Nets fan. I want to see if I can pull it up because I thought it was just hilarious that he was complaining about that he was complaining sort of about what the Wizards were doing. Let me see if I can find it. I mean, in the meantime, basically Nets fans, Knicks fans upset that the Wizards are tanking, mainly Knicks fans, because they obviously have the pick that if the Wizards aren't top eight, they get. And I think Knicks fans have just been delusional in saying to themselves that they're going to get that pick, even though the Wizards knew that they were going to do everything possible to make sure that didn't happen. You know, Knicks fans are the same fans that have been trading that pick back to the Knicks in trades for like Kyle Kuzma, where that's all the Wizards get back is just the protections lifted off the pick. It seems like Knicks fans just didn't have a good enough understanding of what was at stake with the pick, and that the Wizards knew what they had to do to keep the pick. And now that they're doing that to ensure they keep their pick, and the Knicks don't get it, Knicks fans are up in arms and they're calling for all sorts of repercussions and all sorts of punishments to be, you know, thrown at Washington. I mean, I'll remind you that the Knicks pretty blatantly tanked for Zion. Like they didn't really do what they needed to do in that season to win games. They tried their best to lose for Zion. They didn't get him, and they got RJ. But now the Knicks are winning, right? And the Wizards aren't, and they're trying to tank. Now other teams can't do it. I mean, it's the same Knicks team that I believe they were stripped the first round pick, but it's the same team that openly cheated and tampered to get Jalen Brunson. And again, Knicks fans are going to be like, "Well, we were punished for that." But the punishment was so bad that if I asked you, "Would you do it again?" they would say, "Take two first round picks. We do not care." Because Brunson's been that good. That doesn't mean they should be able to circumvent the rules of free agency and anti-tampering, but they did. And so if you're the Wizards and you get punished after the fact, like, "Hey, you know, you guys got the number one or number two pick, but we're going to take away your second round picks for like 1 or 2 years in the future." Like, okay, that's okay. We don't need them anymore. And so, yes, like Knicks fans are upset, but Nets fans are upset. Other teams' fans are upset what the Wizards are doing. But everyone's tanking. There's four or five teams right now that are tanking. It's just maybe the Wizards are just doing it more blatantly than those teams. But it seems like obviously they haven't been punished. So I don't know if it's against the rules or not, but you know, obviously the Wizards got blown out in this one. They started Bob, Will Riley, Justin Champagne, Watkins, and Vucevic. I mean, Champagne was phenomenal in the first half. I think he finished with 17 points. Didn't play much in the second, so just had four and had 21 points. But again, like best player on the floor for them, he's pretty dominant. You know, when he was playing, I mean, he was great against Detroit. Was a plus 17 before they benched him from pretty much the whole second half. And I mean, I tweeted after the Pistons game that I was just really happy that they didn't trade him. Like that was the biggest win of the deadline. Yeah, you got Anthony Davis, but you didn't trade Champagne for a first round pick just because you could get one. Just because when you signed to that contract, you didn't think you can get one. You know what I mean? So I really do like Champagne. I admire his game. I think he's from Brooklyn or around the area and had a bunch of people there. And so I really respect the way that he plays the game and had another good game today. It's funny. I mean, how many times do you see an NBA team that like the number one guy they're like game planning for is Justin Champagne? And I'm sure that's what the Nets did today because he was the best player for Washington entering this game. We gotta talk about Will Riley. I'm like 15 minutes into this pod. I can't believe I waited this long to talk about him. Absolute gem. Absolute gem. Just an insane find from Will Dawkins. I know a lot of you guys that are listening. I'm not trying to call you out. I'm just saying, a lot of people were in my DMs. A lot of people were in the comment sections, crying that the Washington Wizards drafted Walter Clayton at 18 and then traded him to the Utah Jazz for Will Riley. I will remind you, right? The Wizards moved back three spots. Okay, picked up an additional 3 second-round picks to do so. One of those picks being Jahmyr Watkins, who played great defense, had a poster dunk on Jaeger Jomin today. He looks like he can be a player. And on top of him, you have, of course, the other 2 second-round picks in the future, and all that to move back, and you got the better player. I mean, you can't debate me. Will Riley has been better this year than Walter Clayton, more consistent than Walter Clayton. He's bigger, he's stronger, he's way, way more polished at this moment than Walter Clayton. I mean, the last 5 games, he's been in double figures. I mean, I think it was like 13, 18, 17, 20, and then today with 27, a career high. It's back-to-back games, Will Riley with a career high in scoring. 4 games in a row for Will Riley being the Wizards' leading scorer. I mean, you're running out of superlatives. You're running out of words to just describe the level that he's gotten to this year. And he's not just scoring off, catch and shoot opportunities from three, like a lot of wings, young wings in the league are doing. Like, it's self-created opportunities where, obviously he has the catch and shoot ability from three. I think he went 4 of 6 today. I mean, just incredible. Had a couple games throughout the stretch of 2 of 4, 2 of 5, 4 of 8. Just a really good 3-point shooter. At least that's what he's becoming. I don't know what his percentage on the year is, but he's becoming lately a pretty good and reliable catch and shoot option, which is good because, in the future with Trae Young playing and then off the bench, if he's playing alongside a guy like Bob Carrington, like you might not be on ball as much as you want, but you need to be able to make defenses pay from the outside. And he's clearly shown an ability to do that. But it's his ability to process with the ball in his hands and play point guard if he needs to, but also get his own shot. I mean, there were countless times tonight and against Detroit and other games where he has a good decel step where he's able to drive hard to the basket, but then allow the defender to blow by and just, take a short floater or push shot. He can get to the rim all the way if he wants, and he did that today. He got blocked at one point trying to go for a poster, but I like the aggression that he showed. And then there was one play in particular. I mean, I talked about his footwork on the last episode. He had it at the top of the key. I think just like a one-on-one ISO sort of. He kind of took a step to the left with his pivot and got his defender to bite like he was going that way and just pivoted on his foot, spun into a wide open drive for a layup. And I mean, it was one of those things where they had to respect him. They had to be out there because he was making threes. And all he did was just sort of use his footwork, clever footwork, to get around his defender. No fancy dribble moves, no speed, no strength, just pure, fundamentals and footwork. And he was able to get to the rim. Like I mentioned, he's got a great pivot foot, a great, footwork game. But he's able to score in all three levels. He's got the floater and push shot. He's got the ability to get to the lane and draw a foul. But he's also got the ability to knock down a three, whether it's self-created or whether it's a catch and shoot opportunity. He's got a very complete game for, I think he's 20 for, or I think he's 19 for a 19-year-old rookie. He's got a very polished game. And what's good about the fact that the Wizards are sort of tanking and allowing so many of these guys to play so many more minutes, I think Will Riley played 42 minutes tonight, is that they get every opportunity they can to make a mistake or to shine. And he's been doing a lot more shining recently. It's because they allowed him the runway to make mistakes earlier in the season. But you're seeing the development, you're seeing the progression in Will Riley's game. And I mean, today he was fantastic. Champagne was the best player for the Wizards in the first half. I mean, Riley clearly was Washington's best player in the second half, took him home there, made it a game, sort of. And so, shout out to Will Riley, his best game as a pro by far. Like I mentioned, 27 points, 10 of 19 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3. Added 3 steals, 3 boards as well. So you saw a little bit of what he can do on the defensive end of block two. Really complete game from Will Riley. Really good stuff. Apart from that, I mean, Tristan Vukcevic, 14 on 6 of 12. I mean, he showcased the touch, made a 3, got to his spots offensively. I thought he was really good on the defensive end against Detroit. I can't really say the same today. I thought that too many times he was out of position. I thought on the defensive glass again, he was your starting center today, and in 20 minutes he had just 2 rebounds and 3 fouls. Needs to be way more active on the glass, certainly. If you're him, you can't be getting out rebounded 5-2 by Sharif Cooper, who is sub 6 foot, versus you, Tristan Vukcevic, at 7 foot. Like, you can't, it can't be happening. So, like, there's still questions about his defense. There's still questions about his, physicality and ability to clear the glass at his size. Those are things that need to get better. But if you're one of the people that are just watching Tristan for can he score, I mean, he can, and you saw that today, third leading scorer for Washington. I mentioned Ymir Watkins, 13 points. 2 blocks, 1 steal is really what I care about. Thought he really dug in on the defensive end. Just baptized Yegor Geoman, big poster there. Sort of shows that aggression and physicality, and the ups that he has, in terms of Jameer Watkins. So didn't think he was particularly too bad today. I thought he was solid. Bub Carrington, 11 points, 4 of 10 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3. Relatively quiet for him. I mean, it's just considering that he started at point guard, but again, played just 22 minutes. They sort of spaced out the minutes today. You thought you might have a bigger game from Bub with all the people that were sitting. It was just an okay game, but again, not bad. And he's had some bad performances. He made a 3-and-1. I do like the shots that he took, and again, thought he got to his spots at a pretty good rate, and so no complaints about that. I mean, Will Riley actually played 45 minutes, 45 of the 48 minutes. And again, that's another good thing about the Wizards tanking and not playing. Obviously, everyone that they could have is, when is Will Riley going to be able to play that much? He looked exhausted at the end of the game, but, a good night's work for him. Again, another good game from Sharif Cooper off the bench. I mean, 14 points on 5 of 8 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3, added 5 boards, 3 assists. Again, the way that he sort of navigates the pick and roll, the speed he's able to use to get to the rim, offensively he's similar to Tristan, a lot smaller, but I like what he does in terms of his creation, not only for himself but for others, and the way that he's able to use his speed to his advantage. I really like that. Can still get a shot off, despite his size, but where it does get him is on the defensive end, and obviously he's a minus 20. Like, he really did struggle on the defensive end. Same with Keyshawn Gilbert, I thought, who just signed a 10-day, by the way, and got 29 minutes in his first NBA game. And so, I mean, that kind of shows you the level, right, of what you're dealing with here with the Wizards and what they're doing tanking-wise. But they knew coming into this game that they had a chance to tie the Nets in the standings. And, they knew after a couple of wins they probably didn't necessarily one from like a front office, I guess, perspective, not from a player's perspective. They obviously took matters into their own hands and said, look, Sar, Bilal, Keyshawn, love you guys, but let's sit this one out with some injuries, and obviously it worked out in their favor. So that brings Washington to 14-37. The Pelicans actually won last night in Minnesota, so good for them. They're also 4-6 over their last 10. But that's big because obviously you have Sacramento at 12 wins. You have Indiana at 13 wins. But then you got a three-way tie between Washington, Brooklyn, and New Orleans now at 14 wins. The Wizards and the Nets are a little behind on the Pelicans just because they played 3 less games, lost 3 less games than them. But in the win column, and that's sort of what I'm looking at, they're all tied at the moment. And so obviously if you're Washington, you got dominated today by a bad Nets team, but that's what you wanted. And I think the real winner was Washington for doing so. And so they're both 14-37. I think one more game left against Brooklyn, but they got a pretty big stretch tanking wise coming up. They got on Sunday, which I'll be back to recap that tomorrow, 2 p.m. start against the Miami Heat. And then they got a couple of days off before they go to Cleveland to play the Cavs. So again, I think both of those could be losses. And then you're looking at a really big home and home after the All-Star break with or not home and home, just two games at home against Indiana to start the second half of the season. Trae Young will be reevaluated after the All-Star break based on if they're resting AD. Maybe they just say, hey, Trae, shut it down for the year. Who knows? But you know, they got two more games left before the All-Star break. It seems like two games that they'll most likely lose. And if that's the case, then they'd go into the break, I think tied for the third worst record in the NBA, pretty much wins wise, and then have a 14-39 record. And so obviously, you know, some big games coming up in terms of tank, and by big games, I mean must lose games for the Wizards. But that's probably going to wrap it up for this episode of the Wizards podcast. A really good tanking loss for the Wizards, 127-113 loss on the road against the Brooklyn Nets. Will Riley did his thing, 27 points on 10 of 19 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3. It's his second straight game with a career high in points, fifth straight game in double figures, a fourth straight game leading the Washington Wizards in scoring. Had contributions from Sean Penny, had contributions from Sharif Cooper and others as well. But Washington, you know, found its way to a loss, one that had sort of evaded it in games past, but they got a big one today against the Brooklyn Nets. They fall to 14-37, two more games before the All-Star break, one tomorrow against the Heat, and I'll be here to recap that one like I always am. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Wizards podcast. Thanks for listening as always. Go Wiz.